justice for the human family. We demand it. Justice, truth, freedom, equality's a must. Us decolonization of the planet. So bust this. People be the power. Now we build the justice. Pouring at system divinations. How we build the justice. Welcome the planet to the podcast. Build the justice. Build the justice. Build the justice. Build. Is to add on or do away with justice.
Welcome to Building Justice, a podcast by Sacramento State University's Center on Race, Immigration, and Social Justice, or CRISJ. We explore critical issues affecting our communities with the hopes of creating a healthier and more just world. My name is Basha Ellis, and I'm an assistant professor of child and adolescent development at Sacramento State, as well as your host for today's session. I'm very excited for our conversation today, as we'll be speaking with Eric Ramirez, coordinator of the Dreamer Resource Center at Sacramento State, as well as a doctoral student of education leadership in the College of Education. Eric, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Eric, I'm so excited to reconnect with you today and to talk more about your involvement at the Dreamer Resource Center and what the center means for you and undocumented students more generally. The Dreamer Resource Center was, of course, where we met several years ago. And I really do remember this time as it was also very special to me. I was relatively new at Sacramento State. I had arrived recently from Chicago, where I was working as a postdoctoral scholar and conducting research with ethnically diverse undocumented youth. But this was really the first time for me as an assistant professor to be engaged in this new role where I was connecting with the center and starting to facilitate a support group with undocumented students at Sac State. And I remember you coming in at this time and talking to me and you know, expressing your interest to join the group, particularly as you were interested to get to know the students and conduct research with them. So I wonder if you remember that time and where you were in your life, and how did you find out about the center in the first place?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely recall meeting you. So as you know, I'm a DACA recipient. I received DACA in 2013. So after many years of being undocumented and being in the shadows, quote unquote, you know, DACA allowed me to, you know, go back to school. It gave me protection from deportation and that 2-year renewable work permit. And so I knew, you know, for many years, I knew as soon as I have an opportunity to go back to school, that's what I'm going to do. And so in 2015, I started at Sac State in my undergrad to finish up my bachelor's degree. And so that took me 4 semesters, but during that time, I was pretty busy, you know, trying to get through work, trying to get through school. I know I would work full time and then take classes primarily in the evenings. So it was very much, there was no connection to campus. And at times I struggled to kind of figure things out a little bit just to navigate the process. And I remember I ran into an issue with financial aid, and I went into the financial aid office. And they couldn't help me, but they told me about this center on campus that was there to help dreamers. And that was my first time ever hearing about the center. And I was like, wow, this is really neat. I didn't know this was a thing. But I meant to go to the center. I never did, because I actually ended up figuring out the issue on my own. And so I never stopped by the Dreamer Resource Center. But I chose to go to grad school right around the time when the Trump administration was coming in. And as you recall, they were very much about, you know, DACA, we're going to get rid of DACA. DACA is unconstitutional. And so I was in my second semester of grad school when Trump was, actually he'd been elected earlier, but I was in my second semester of grad school when the Trump administration announced the termination of DACA. And so at that time, you know, a lot of us were very afraid of what was going on. We really weren't sure what, you know, what the future held. And so I was in a research methods course, a qualitative research methods course in that semester. And I decided, okay, I'm going to write my paper on the experiences of undocumented students. you know, I really need to give voice to this. I've, you know, it's the documented status was not something I really had ever explored or talked about. And so I was like, I, you know, now's my time. Right. And so I remembered that there was this Dreamer Resource Center on campus that I had learned about during my undergrad. And so basically, you know, knowing that when you're doing this kind of research, you need to, you know, connect with folks who are, you know, going to be your interviewees and build that rapport and then recruit. So I decided, all right, well, I need to go to the center. So I went there really looking for interviewees for my study. But as I reflect on it, I also think about, I wasn't just about looking for interviewees. To be honest with you, I also, you know, was looking for community, looking to connect. It was a scary time, not knowing, you know, what would happen next, especially after I had just been given this opportunity to get my life back on track, essentially, right? After so many years of just kind of trying to make things work outside of, you know, education. And so long story short, I was definitely at a point in my life where I, you know, was doing this research for sure. And I needed, you know, interviewees, but I also was just looking for others to, you know, and to connect and to build community and to get involved in some way. Because for a really long time, I kind of just sat back and let others do the work. And I, you know, that really, that, you know, the termination of DACA was what really made me realize, like, oh, I also have some role to play in this, whatever that means. And so I was really also looking, like I said, to connect with folks and become a little more active in the movement.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, I really like your answer, as I think it speaks to, I mean, so many complexities and challenges that other undocumented students also face. I mean, you've highlighted the everyday struggles and challenges, as you mentioned, you know, you waited for DACA to come in before you could go back to school. It gave you some new opportunities to work and to feel hope to move forward with your life. Of course, getting through school for undocumented students is a challenge when there's no federal financial aid for students, and many struggle with financial issues in mm-hmm. the family. You know, the ever-present concern with immigration policy, which was once again in the air with the Trump administration, and the real fear of disclosing your status, right, and coming to the center, you know, given the real possibility of deportation. And also you mentioned how you were busy, involved in so many things. And so going to the center was not on your radar. And it really wasn't until you felt compelled, both with the research and both with the social political context, to connect with people and get support at a really troubling time. So I just appreciate all of the pieces that you've put forward there that are so common across undocumented students, and how you've managed to navigate those and get connected at the time. I mean, I was in Chicago when Trump was elected, and I saw parallel things happening when you know, students and young people really struggled with these issues and sought out support, be it through community organizations or in education contexts. The difference, though, in Chicago that I saw was that there were no undocumented student resource centers. I think there were several schools where there were point persons, really overworked point persons, that single point person in the university who knew something about undocumented students and was trusted, and students would go to them. But there was no formal support structure or campus culture in the way that I see it here at Sacramento State. And so with that, I wonder if we could talk more about the center so that our listeners can understand what it is, the Dreamer Resource Center at Sac State, and what is its purpose.
Yeah, of course. And you're right that, you know, we are lucky to be in California, and particularly, I would say, at Sacramento State, where we have a space like this. There are definitely institutions across the nation that don't have this kind of support, and you know, it's unfortunate. At our campus at Sac State, the Dreamer Resource Center is a physical space on campus, and our mission, or our whole entire purpose, is to help students get their college degree, right? It's to help them persist and graduate. And the center was actually started through the efforts of students. Essentially, there was a group of students that worked together with my boss, Dr. Viviana Diaz, to institutionalize some sort of support for undocumented students. And it grew out of just, you know, students coming together as kind of informally as a club to, you know, where we are today. And the center persists largely through student efforts. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But essentially, you know, we are here to provide various types of services and support, all very strategic and all very responsive to the unique needs that these students face. So we talked, right, a little bit about some of the financial need that we face as an undocumented student. Also some of the well-being and the mental health issues that come, and the anxiety that comes with the experience. Understanding how to navigate college and the process and financial aid, building that sense of belonging, right? All of these things are critical to the success of students and to them persisting and ultimately graduating. And so we offer a bunch of different stuff, but all of it is really, it's really under, I like to kind of think of it as we have three core pillars. You know, access to higher ed, which is all about stimulating access, and that's a very community focused, you know, kind of pillar where we're doing work to basically connect with folks in Sacramento and throughout the region to ensure that students and their families know of the fact that they can go to college even if they're undocumented. And what does that look like? Our second pillar is all about building campus community. So we are very cognizant of the fact that, you know, we're at Sac State, where we enjoy, thankfully, a lot of support for undocumented students, you know, from President Nelson all the way to, you know, the different faculty and staff and student leaders. But we still work to maintain that culture, to maintain an environment, an institution that is supportive and sensitive, right, to the experiences. And that's educating folks, engaging them through different activities so they can get to know our students and see what we're all about and really see the value in the work that we're doing. And then lastly, perhaps the most important one, is our direct services to students. And that's everything, you know, meant to help students stay in school, overcome some of the challenges that you know, they face along the way, whether they be financial or otherwise, and ultimately, you know, make that transition to post-graduation life. And so I know I said we offer a bunch of different stuff. Some of the kind of the key ones I would say are academic and financial aid guidance. So again, just helping students navigate the process. Going to college is confusing, frankly, for a lot of us. And when you're undocumented, it makes it even more challenging and more stressful in many cases. So helping students navigate that process. We have immigration legal services, free legal services. And that's really critical because students and their families really do need access to trustworthy and accurate information. That's also not going to, you know, cost them anything because our students in many cases can't afford that kind of advice. So we provide that on a weekly basis. We also have our Dreamer Experience Seminar, which you and I work on. But as you know, it's like our like almost a college success course, but really tailored to the experiences of undocumented students, mixed status students, so students from mixed immigration status families, and students from immigrant backgrounds, or those that identify as allies. And it's a really, really neat space where students come together to examine identity and well-being, and really just unpack some of the issues that come with being undocumented. and also learn about the resources that exist, get to know one another, build community. So when I was talking earlier about how we help reframe what it means to be undocumented, I would say that this seminar class is one of the key ways that we do that, right? We dive deep into some of the issues that come with being undocumented and what that means. And in doing that, in students engaging in a discussion and dialogue with one another, and in reflecting on their own experiences, that is how they're able to reframe that and to be empowered by their status. And then students who are part of the seminar then also become part of our internship program. So that's also a really neat program that we launched a few years ago, where basically students in the seminar receive a peer mentor that they work with. So we have about 7 or 8 dream leaders each semester, and they have a caseload of students that they mentor, and they meet with them on a weekly basis. But those mentors, they themselves are traditionally undocumented students, dreamers who were in the seminar previously and who are now receiving training as interns and going through professional development. They receive a stipend at the end of the semester for their internship. And so it's a really neat program that creates not only support for students that we serve, but also professional development opportunities for students who use our services, who can then get involved with our center and you know, continue to do that work for others as well. So that's just a little bit about what we do. There's a lot more, but we're really proud of you know, how we've been able to develop all these different resources and these services.
I mean, there's so much that you just shared, and that's fantastic. I think it speaks to so many of the ways that the Dreamer Resource Center supports students, and as you said, to prepare them to complete their degrees and beyond. And so I want to address a number of the layers and dimensions of this work with you as we continue this conversation. One of the first things, though, that I started noticing as you were speaking was the way that you spoke about the center and the work that's being done in terms of we. You are part of a we that is doing this work. And, you know, that really contrasted for me with your initial, you know, engagement with the center, where you mentioned that you were apprehensive about approaching it. There was levels of fear that you mentioned. And so to move from that apprehensive place where arguably a lot of students enter the space apprehensively, not knowing what the Dreamer Resource Center is, to then turn it all into a we is a big shift. And so I'm wondering if you could say a little bit more about that shift and how you got there.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, first, when I say we, I mean that I do not do this work on my own, right? Our center, you know, we do a lot. We offer a lot of different resources and services. I am the only full-time staff member at this point, right? But, and then we have student interns that help us do the work. But when I first started at the Dreamer Resource Center, I got hired on as a grad student assistant. So to kind of bridge it real quick with my story about how I got involved, you know, after I started to do the research and started to get involved with the center, as you know, Basha, I eventually was offered a position as a grad assistant when I was in grad school. And so that's how I kind of started working at the center and how I made that shift from just doing my research to actually being involved with the center as an employee. And I, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I think I was brought in to help with the conference that was going on and to help oversee the Dream Leaders internship program that I just mentioned a little bit ago. And in doing that work, I quickly realized that even though I was focused on something very specific at the center, that there was so many others, not just in the center, also so many other student employees focused on different pieces of the work, but also the coordinator who does the work, also, you know, our AVP, Dr. Diaz, but also, you know, the Vice President of Student Affairs, Dr. Mills. There was all these people, President Nelson, constantly advocating and ensuring and coming around this space and connecting with our students. And then I started to connect, you know, realize that like the work that we're doing and the services that we're offering are largely in collaboration with other campus partners, with the counseling center, with the financial wellness center, with the career center, partnering with them to offer these services to students in our space, in a space where they feel comfortable, and having these folks go through trainings, through our ally trainings, so they're sensitive to the experience when they are working with our students. So it became very clear that the work to support undocumented students is, it takes a village, and that it's part of a larger system that involves multiple agents, both within the center, but also at the institution and in the community as well. We also are very much connected with the community, with the Fuel Network, and you know, our the other community colleges and some of the CSUs in the greater, you know, Northern California region. So, you know, it's impossible not to see it as a we, because it's definitely part of a larger system, right? Again, I'm the only staff member at the center, full-time staff member. Everyone else is a student employee or a student intern in some way. And there's no way that we'd be able to do this work. There's no way that I'd be able to do this work without having their support. Now, that said, I think when I talk about the we as well, or when I think of it in terms of we, there's a little bit of a personal element to that as well. Because when I reflect on my own experience with all of this, I think I've shared with you before in other conversations that I never saw myself doing this work, right? If you would have asked me 4 years ago, what'll be your career? What are you going to be doing? It was not leading an undocumented student support center, right? But I have gone through a transition when I think about it. I have developed, because you kind of hit a little bit on it earlier when you asked the question. When I started all of this, I was alone. I did feel alone. That was part of why I went to the Dreamer Resource Center. Again, not just to collect interviews, but also because I'd been going through it alone for my entire life. And then it was like, okay, things are going to get better. We got DACA, but then things are going to get worse. Trump came, right? And DACA's going away. And so I was alone. And that is partly why, you know, I went to, and I connected with these folks. And now when I think about where I am today, right, not only am I doing this work, but like I can talk about my own status in a way that I never was able to talk about before. I see my own status in a way that I never saw before. And I think a large piece of that is that I feel supported. I feel supported by my boss, by her boss, by, you know, my boss's boss's boss, by the institution, by my colleagues, by you, by the students that we work with. Folks have taken an interest in the work and have given me the confidence that I needed, I think, to be able to do this work. And so, yeah, I hope that all makes sense. But when I think about the we, again, it's we in the sense of there's a lot of us doing this work. It takes a village, right? But we in the sense that I see myself in the work that I do and the way that I'm now, you know, I have access to spaces where I'm considered an expert, quote unquote, in these issues, and my perspective and my expertise helps shape decisions that are made. That's empowering in and of itself, right? And that definitely gives me a confidence that I didn't have in this way, at least in this aspect of my life. So that's what I mean by we.
Thank you, Eric. That's such a beautiful account. And I really appreciate how much the Dreamer Resource Center was a part of the transition that you speak of. And, you know, it really reminds me actually of transitions that I observed in activists and in Chicago who also went through these self-transformations as they entered activist spaces, be it in community organizations or student organizations, where initially they too were first apprehensive to enter these spaces, you know, also concerned about disclosing their status, not knowing what and who they would encounter in these circles. But then they met people who not only shared and validated their experiences, allowing them to see how they're not alone, but also they were able to begin to see how they could think and relate differently to their status. So seeing others who were open about their status was really powerful. It helped them see that they didn't have to hide, that there was an injustice in the immigration system, or there was injustice in the immigration system, and that they had rights that they could claim, as opposed to feeling ashamed and having to hide about their status. So these kinds of spaces gave them opportunities to rethink their positions, rethink their belonging, and counter dominant narratives that, you know, press them not to have a voice, to remain in the shadows, and afraid, you know, of disclosing their situations and connecting with others who could understand them. So even the language of the youth campaign, undocumented, unafraid, and unapologetic, is so powerful for reshaping that narrative and the language that young people use to make sense of their lives as undocumented. So you clearly speak to an experience that was in a different space, the Dreamer Resource Center, that nevertheless produced something powerful and parallel for you. So I wonder if we could talk more about other students and what you've witnessed in your role as a coordinator, you know, working with students and what kinds of transitions they've have faced. Before that, though, I'd love for us to take a brief break, and we'll return to talk more about that question and more about the work and impact of the Dreamer Resource Center. So welcome back to Building Justice, a podcast sponsored by the Center for Race and Immigration and Social Justice, Chris J. at Sacramento State. And I am your host, Basha Ellis, assistant professor at Sacramento State. And I'm talking to Eric Ramirez, who is the coordinator of the Dreamer Resource Center at Sacramento State. So Eric, I want to return to the question that I posed before we took a break, which has to do with the impact of the center on students. And I wanted to hear more about how you have seen students experience the center and the kind of transitions that they have gone through.
Yeah, so, you know, I would say that the development that we see in the students is, it's real and it's clearly visible. So, you know, I shared some of the resources and the different services and activities we do, and in connecting students and helping them come together, being in the same room and dialogue around, you know, issues that they've never really talked about before with anyone openly or unpacked with anyone, that is incredibly powerful. And I know that because our students tell us that regularly. And I keep saying this, but we are reframing what it means to be undocumented through the work that we do. And in doing that, we're liberating our students from from some of the restrictions and some of the shackles of what it means to be undocumented. And in some ways, some of the shackles that we place on ourselves, right, because of the experience. And we're empowering our students. We're supporting them in the process of becoming empowered through this reframing of what it means to be undocumented. And to me, that's what social justice is all about, right? Liberation and empowerment. So I see students who arrive, you know, walk in through to the center looking, you know, for support, oftentimes very shy, very reserved. As you have talked about, there's a certain level of fear when it comes to accessing services at a center like this, because you're outing yourself. And if it's your first time, you don't know if that's okay or not, right? You don't know who these people are. And so we see students who come into the center or even join the class who are very quiet at first, who are clearly, you know, unsure about the entire thing. And just to see those the same students by the end of the semester, it is like a complete 180 for a lot of them. You know, we see this students become way more confident in their ability to speak about themselves and their status. Students, you know, engage with one another in ways that you know, they weren't before. I've had students tell me that they've made some of their best friends through the seminar class that we offer and through the DRC activities. So we see this shift that's going on with our students and just the way that they behave and the way that they express themselves and the way that they engage with us and with one another. But we also know that there's this shift that's happening because our students report it in the survey that we do at the end of the semester, particularly in our Dreamer Experience seminar. So in that evaluation, we regularly receive feedback that says things like, you know, I had never been in a space where I got to talk about, you know, being undocumented, or it was great to know that we have this kind of support, right? Because a lot of students come to Sac State similarly to my experience in my undergrad, feeling alone. This is a huge new world for a lot of us, and we have no idea how to navigate it. And on top of that, we're dealing with all these challenges related to being undocumented. And so the development that these students are going through, in many cases, they're basically like reckoning with their own status and finding ways to, again, reframe what that means. And to then look to the future and to understand that just because we're undocumented doesn't mean that we don't have a future. So we are institutionalized, right? We are within the system, but we are creating opportunities for students to be empowered, and we're creating opportunities for liberation. And again, in doing that, we help students change and shift that perspective and to think differently, about their lives.
Wow. Thank you, Eric. I love all that you say and how you articulate the power of the Dreamer Resource Center to shift and reframe students' lives. And also, as you said, you know, that's what social justice work is all about. I think that you really show how social justice work can be done in more or less diffuse ways and operate through varied channels and mediums. You know, the example of the undocumented student empowered to seek their career and transformed through their education to pursue their dreams really speaks to that and the way that their activities then have ripple effects on other young people and other students and again diffuse the work of social justice. So I love that you shared all that, and I love hearing how you see the Dreamer Resource Center as a part of that. And so, but on that note, I wonder if you could say more about how you see your work and the work of the Dreamer Resource Center as oriented to social justice.
Yeah, of course. And I love that notion of diffused forms of social justice, by the way. That's definitely something I agree with. So when I think of social justice, I think of oppression and marginalization as a result of structures and systems, right? Both at various levels. And so if to me and you know the folks that I work with, that's what social justice is, then it makes perfect sense that the work that we're doing is a type of social justice, because what we are doing is we are helping, again, students not just reframe their own status, but also we are doing work to alter the structures, definitely at Sac State, right? But hopefully in some way through the work that we're doing across higher ed in general. And so, because really what it's about is that, you know, when we think about undocumented students or students who are impacted by undocumented status, they face these challenges in the pursuit of higher education because their immigration status creates those barriers within the U.S. educational system, right? And we also know that immigration is part of a larger issue, right? It doesn't just live at Sac State or in Sacramento or in California. And so through the work that we're doing, we are helping students access education and complete their education. And education in and of itself is transformative. I realize that education, and especially through the work that I'm doing in the doctoral program, I'm very much starting to realize that education can also marginalize and education can also exclude. But I do still firmly believe that it can transform lives and it can be a transformative journey for a lot of our students. And education can also help students gain access to so many different types of success in various forms, right? And so we are helping our students overcome those challenges despite their status, despite the limitations that society and the legal system and the educational system is placing on them. We're helping students overcome those challenges. And in some ways, and in some cases, you know, we've been able to help support the system itself. Like, for example, the Dreamer Resource Center worked with the Office of Inclusive Excellence and the Faculty Senate a few years ago to pass a policy to protect undocumented individuals at Sac State, which and then we'll be having some trainings about that in the fall once we return back to campus. But essentially, there is a policy at Sac State. I would call it a fairly progressive policy that dictates, you know, what the campus will do if there's ever, you know, how to handle if there's ever ICE activity on campus, protection of data, student reinstatement if a student is ever, you know, subjected to anything related to immigration enforcement, and it threatens their ability to stay in school. So, you know, we've been a part of those conversations and of shaping those policies as well, right? So I know that we're making a difference because we're helping shape policies at the institutional level, but we're also, you know, I see just the impact that we have on students. And we talked a little bit about that already, right? Some of the transformation that we see in the students and the way that they lead their lives and the way that they think of themselves after they've, you know, been a part of what we do. But what and the other thing I'll quickly say is the other piece where I kind of see that is in the way that students, like post college life, right? A lot of students, I think, start their college career not only, you know, unsure of themselves and you know, and unsure of the whole being undocumented thing, but also for a lot of the students that we work with, they see their options for life after college as being incredibly limited. I see this all the time, but we talk to our students about, you know, entrepreneurship and about other options and about the fact that obviously if you have DACA, you know, that gives you the ability to work, but even for students that don't have DACA, right? Students that have other options, they are pursuing careers. You know, we're helping students become first generation professionals. That's a huge deal, right? We're in many of these cases, I mean, I don't want to speculate, but if I would say that a lot of students, I know for me, I mean, if I didn't have the experiences and the support that I've had along the way, I wouldn't necessarily be in this position. So I see the way that we're doing social justice. I see it. Now, is it a different form of social justice compared to maybe some of the traditional conceptions? Sure. I would say it's more like an institutionalized form of social justice. But I would also say that we need that. We need different forms of social justice at different levels, at the micro and the macro. We need it in institutions. We need it in the community. We need it at the national level when it comes to policy. We do need folks who are willing to go out there and you know, peacefully protest and you know, make their voices heard at the Capitol, right? We need all that. And there's room, I would say, in the social justice tent for all of us. The work that we do, again, is within the institution. Are there limitations that come with that? Of course. Of course there's limitations. But there are also great benefits that come with being a part of this institution and being able to truly impact change in within the institutional structures. And so, you know, we collaborate with folks that are doing other work in other forms of social justice. You know, we have campus and community partners who sometimes, you know, will co-sponsor events. We've shared volunteering and engagement opportunities regularly with our students, you know, because sometimes they're also interested in doing more direct forms of advocacy and activism. But I do think that the work that we're doing is oriented to social justice and going back to the, you know, what you shared about the diffuse forms. I think it's one form of social justice that is incredibly valuable and that we need in order to make a difference in all of this.
Right. Wonderful response, Eric. I appreciate how expansive the work is that you're involved in. And, you know, I have to say also from a Canadian perspective, our listeners might not be aware that I'm Canadian and I worked with undocumented immigrants in Canada before arriving to Chicago and then Sacramento. And just this system of allyship that you're referring to, the different groups involved and the conversations and inner relations of these different groups interested in addressing the issues of undocumented immigrants and undocumented students is so developed in this country in a way that you don't see the same situation in Canada. And I think your perspective on the issue is so demonstrative of why that even comes together, because you see those connections and the need of this village, like you mentioned earlier, that really makes a difference for building this work and building justice as a village. So I really appreciate you noting that, and also just the ripple effects of having a student who feels empowered to pursue a career is now empowered to shift the narrative around undocumented students, serve as a mentor, serve as a role model to next generations and other groups. And that again speaks to this diffuse way that social justice work and resistance operates, I think, at multiple levels with multiple effects. So you're clearly involved in that, and the Dreamer Resource Center is clearly a player in that larger effort. So that's really, really impressive, the work you're doing and the perspective that you have about this as a really multidimensional effort. So thank you for articulating all that. You know, as we come to close our conversation, I'm wondering, you know, as you look to the future of the center and this work, maybe more broadly, what work lies ahead?
Yeah, so definitely, as you know, the work does not end. There's always work to be done. I would say a few things. Number one, you know, I've been at the center for almost 2 years as coordinator, you know, longer in a different capacity as point of contact and as a grad student. And the work we always continuously do is to just continue to grow our mark on campus and in the community, continue to connect with more students and reach more of the community, increase that impact that we're making. You know, I say this proudly, Sac State, I think our Dreamer Resource Center is seen as as a bit of a role model for some of the centers in you know, in the area and that are doing some of this work. And you know, we've oftentimes taken the lead on a lot of things and kind of, you know, led the way. And that's really wonderful. We want to continue to do that and to be that resource, not only for Sac State, but also for the community as well. That said, you know, thinking a little more local here at Sac State specifically, we definitely want to continue to work with, you know, the campus to identify other areas that are creating challenges, institutional policies and practices, whether they be very minor practices or larger practices that are you know, creating barriers for undocumented students. And just by the way, I mean, I know all the work that I do is for undocumented students and mixed status students, but I do believe that if we can create educational equity for this group, right, that's going to give us the key to creating educational equity for other marginalized groups. And so there's definite lessons to be learned here, I think, about, you know, the work that we're doing just to support students from underserved backgrounds in general. The other thing I think we definitely need to do is to continue to be responsive to the changing needs, right? As you know, immigration policy changes constantly. And so it's important that we, you know, continue to provide resources and services that meet the needs, and those needs change. And so really, you know, keeping our finger on the pulse of what our students need and ensuring that we are being responsive to those needs, I think is something that, you know, I always think about as far as, you know, where we go in the future. And then the last thing, and I think I hit this a little bit, but as we think about, you know, connecting with more students and reaching more of the student population, you know, every semester, a whole new group of student comes in, right? And so we're at orientation, tabling, even in the virtual context now, holding workshops, trying to reach students, trying to get, you know, let them know that we're here, trying to get them into our even just virtual space or at the moment. So that's always work that needs to be done. Reaching students, getting our name out there, making sure that students know that we're here for them. And then the last thing I'll say about that, particularly about reaching more students, is also I recognize that we need to reach more diverse students as well. As you know, you and I have discussed before, we, you know, immigration is highly racialized, right? We see the narrative that often, especially in California, associates undocumented folks with being from Mexico, basically. And so at Sac State, you know, the large portion of our undocumented students are from Mexico, are Spanish speaking, are Latinx, but they're not all of it, right? They're not. We have students from other backgrounds, and we need to be better, I think, about being inclusive and ensuring that we are reaching those other populations. Are like, for example, the API student community is one that we're actually making some very strategic, you know, choices in order to you know, ensure that we're being more inclusive and that we're reaching other groups as well. Because it is really important that we keep in mind that being undocumented is not just a Latinx issue, right? We have undocumented Black folks. We have undocumented white folks, right? We have our API community. We have folks from different parts of Asia that are also dreamers. And so really ensuring, I think, as we look to the future and we continue to do this work, that we also increase, you know, our inclusivity and ensure that students and others know that we are not just a center for Latinx folks, that we are here to serve anyone and everyone who identifies with these communities or these issues or who wants to be an ally.
Right. Yeah, no, I really appreciate that point. As you know, I have worked with undocumented youth of diverse ethnic and racial backgrounds. And in fact, a very recent paper that we have with colleagues in Chicago under review demonstrates a very strong divide between Latinx and non-Latinx youth in this country, precisely because of the racialization of immigration as primarily a Latinx issue, we do see very clear differences in the development of both groups. In Latinx youth experiencing a lot more racialized experiences, more frequent suspicions of status in a way that non-Latinx groups can pass and have therefore, you know, less of those concerns. But also because of that same racialized narrative in this country and processes, non-Latinx youth also experience less supports, less conversations about their status, and therefore are often less prepared to deal with the challenges when they reach late adolescence and you know, their early college years and have to make decisions about their lives. And with less support, that becomes more challenging. So there are these differences that run across racial ethnic lines that are clear, I think, in these young people's experiences. So that you are oriented to making these resources available to different groups and cognizant of the fact that there are different groups who are undocumented, and it's not merely a Latinx issue, I think is really important, and I think bodes well for what the Dreamer Resource Center is, you know, developing as. And I look forward to the work that you will be doing. And of course, I look forward to collaborating with you on that work. That said, so wrapping up our discussion here, do you have any final words for our listeners as we do that?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, thank you, Basha, for inviting me. This has been a wonderful conversation. A lot of reflection, a lot of, you know, kind of aha moments throughout the conversation for me. But yeah, I just, you know, want to end with just inviting the listeners to connect with us. You know, if you're a student and you can use our resources, please reach out. Even if you can't use our resources and you're interested in learning more, or you want to learn more to share out with others in your community or folks you know, please know that we're here for that as well. I also invite, you know, folks at Sac State to connect with us. If maybe you didn't know that we exist, you know, check out our website. I invite you to hopefully when we're on campus in the fall to stop by and check out our physical space. And then any community members who might be listening as well, you know, we're always looking to collaborate, to engage with folks in the Sacramento region and throughout Northern California. To really continue to do this work and to continue to increase access to higher ed for our undocumented and mixed status students. So, I encourage folks to connect with us and thank you for sharing this space with me today.
Those are some beautiful final words. Thank you for inviting others to engage with the center and reach out to you, Eric. I can't tell you how much joy it gives me to be able to reflect on all of this with you. So I appreciate all your time. And on behalf of the Center for Race and Immigration and Social Justice, thank you for listening. We hope our ongoing conversations spark understandings, empathies, and motivation to join the struggle for a better future for all.
All the penalties and the rewards based on the actions. Now, time for building justice. Justice.